We are in Ephesians. We are studying the book of Ephesians, one of the great books in the Bible. I don't know about you, but I love the book of Ephesians. And we are on chapter 3 today, so you can open with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Just quickly, last week in chapter 2, the second part of chapter 2, we heard some, you know, bad news about ourselves, this group, known especially at that time as the Gentiles, those that were, you know, apart from all the promises that was directed to the Jews at that time. And we learned, you know, we were the Gentiles, we were uncircumcised, we were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel. We were foreigners to the covenants of God's promises. We were without hope, without God in the world. But now, and that's the good news, that's the mystery review, it's that now we were brought near, Jews and Gentiles, you know, near together. And Drew shared with us how, you know, now we have access to the Father by the Spirit. We are no longer foreigners and strangers. We are citizens with God's people. We are part. We are member of His household. And we are now being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Think about that. I don't know how that will look like in the future, but me and you, we are part of this group called the Church of Jesus Christ, bought by His blood, and we are being built together to become this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Yes, it's kind of like mind-blowing, isn't it? I mean, and we are part of that here together. We are part of that. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, you know, Paul, he is going to just continue to talk about, you know, God's marvelous plan for the Gentiles, the believers that were far from the promises, and we'll talk about that. And it is a fact, it is true that, you know, yes, God had, but God, He still has a marvelous plan for those that are far from God, for those that are without hope, without God in the world, and God wants to bring them near. I was just thinking this morning, you know, there are so much attention in so many different like fields of life and, you know, science and discoveries and, you know, where are we going to go now as far as like, you know, the planet. But to be thinking that, you know, God's focus is to bring someone that it's far near, right? God is like occupied in like, who is far that doesn't know me? I want to bring them near. And God, He uses people just like He used Paul here, the Apostle Paul. You know, He uses people to be like instruments in His name so that people can be like close to God. I'll never forget the person that God used in my own life to bring me near. It was a very good friend, a friend that someone helped him, you know, to be near to God. And then in turn, He helped me to get near to the Father, to get near to Jesus Christ. And I'll never forget, you know, Him saying to me, Ray, I know that you have like great plans for your life. I know that you are the type of person you are like, you know, seeing the future and you have like plan one and plan B and maybe C. And but I just want to tell you that God's plan for your life, it's 1,000 times better than the best plan that you can come up with. And He turned to me and he's like, and do you doubt that? And I said, yes, I do. And He said, just one thing, try it. try it. And I have been trying, you know, since I was 17 years old. And yes, the plan of God, it's thousands and thousands of times better than the best plan that I could come up on myself for my life. And thank God that I was crazy enough to just like try it. So I don't know how you are here in your relationship with God, and there is, you know, the plans that you have for your own life, and maybe, you know, you hear like your conscious and back, you know, that God has a plan for your life. Yes, he does. And it's awesome. It is absolutely awesome. If you get to know his plan, you know, you will look back and you will not regret, because it is a beautiful plan. So let's now, I ask my good friend Aaron if he could read for us chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. So if you can come here, Aaron, and just read this precious scripture for us.
All right. Wow. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory.
Thank you. That's it. Ephesians chapter 3, beautiful verses right there. So in verse 1, it's very interesting because, you know, Paul says, for this reason, or, you know, as I'm thinking about all this good news that was a mystery before, but now it has been revealed. Paul, you know, he, a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the benefits of the Gentiles. It's interesting because if you read the whole thing here and you read the following verses, 14 and on, you will see that, you know, Paul, he almost like opened like a parenthesis here, right? He said, I, Paul, and he opened a parenthesis here. I mean, we could go like straight, the parenthesis go from verse 2 to verse 13. You know, if this parenthesis was not here, we could go like straight to verse 14 where he says, I, Paul, I'm going to pray this for you. And he is about to, you know, pray this amazing prayer for the believers, you know, the Gentile believers. But first, he just give us a little light about him and about the grace that God bestow upon him. And that's what we are going to look in from verse 2 to verse 13. The first thing in verse 1, it says that he is a prisoner of Christ. And we know that Paul, he was in Rome. He was a prisoner of Rome, right? First, he was in Jerusalem, and then, you know, now in Rome. But Paul says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know, think about that. When you are a prisoner, you are like encompassed by like walls, right? It's like there is nowhere to go. You are kind of like, you know, you are hiding there in that place that you cannot escape. And Paul is like, I am a prisoner of Christ. He is all around me. I cannot escape Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful picture here. He doesn't say like, I am a prisoner of home. He says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Sometimes Paul, he will talk about himself as, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. That's something beautiful. That's not something bad. You know, being a prisoner of Jesus Christ, it's something beautiful. It's to have Jesus, you know, as our main focus. It's to have Jesus in front of us, behind us, you know, by our side. We are like, you know, we love Jesus. And we have decided by free volition to become like his prisoner. And that's what Paul is calling himself here. So, you know, he is, yes, in prison, but prison is not really like inside of him. He is there with a purpose. He is doing something. God is doing something through the Apostle Paul. And it's something really, really beautiful. I mean, think about that. The guy that, you know, in just like a few years before, he was persecuting Christians. He was like killing people, you know, with the knowledge that he had. He was killing people in the name of God. And then he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And he became the person to preach the good news of the gospel to those that he was persecuting. Talking about like a change of life. And I love the fact that, you know, God is capable to change the hardest one. Maybe some of you here today, you thought to yourself before you were in a close relationship with Jesus Christ, you thought about yourself as a hard one, right? You thought about yourself maybe like, you know, this Christianity thing, it's something for somebody else. Until God did something, and maybe here you are, you know, the hardest one was won by love. And that's what God is in the business today. So in verse 2, you know, we have Paul now preaching the good news. And he says in verse 2, God gave him the special responsibility or call to extend his grace to the Gentiles. And Paul was not disobedient to this call. I mean, think with me. Grace, the grace of God, it's already a beautiful thing, a good thing. And Paul was given this privilege to preach, to extend grace already. It's a beautiful thing. And extended grace, it's even better. In the sense here, specifically, you know, through the cross, we can all experience the amazing grace and the love of God. But Paul had this mission to extend the grace, telling the Gentiles that not only you can be saved by God's grace, but you can be one, and in this case here, with the Jews, into one same body. See, the grace of God not only can save us and has the power to do that, but the grace of God has the power to reconcile us. And again, in this case here was Jews being reconciled to Gentiles, right? Because both of them, they were not like, you know, good at each other. But like in our own lives, grace is not only for salvation, but grace is also for reconciliation. Even this morning, as you think about your relationships, and maybe there are some, maybe, you know, it's that family member that we all have one, right? You know, and maybe you need a little reconciliation. And I just want to say to you this morning, the grace of God has the power to transform relationships, to give us reconciliation with people that we thought like, you know what? I can never forgive him. But God can. And God can help us with reconciliation. So reconciliation to one another, unity with one another. The body of Jesus Christ is one. Now, there is no separation. There is no like walls of religion, race, nationality, politics, and parties. We are one in Jesus Christ. And that is something beautiful. It is something beautiful for people to come and to be part of God's church and to know that we are one. There's no walls. There is no like, and unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we let those walls come up between us and other people, between churches and even like other churches. But what Jesus did in the cross, he broke all those walls so that we could become one. What a beautiful thing. And that was exactly, you know, the message that Paul was preaching to them. Verse 6, let's jump to verse 6. It says, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. We are one, and we have this inheritance as God's children. We have this treasure. The Bible says that me and you, we are co-heirs, sons and daughters of God the Father. We inherited together in the promises of Christ Jesus. We are co-members belonging to the same body of Christ. We are united in Jesus Christ, co-sharers of the promised Holy Spirit. We are together, together, and together. I love this because, you know, unity, it's something really important in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unity that he purchased by his own blood. And God, he wants us to understand that unity, it's a powerful testimony that we can give as a church. And God, he wants us, I love Ephesians 4:3, it says this, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Me and you, we can contribute to that, right? Making every effort to keep the unity that God wants in his body, who is the church. I love Ephesians 4:3 and how the Message Bible paraphrase Ephesians 4:3. It says this, I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. Have you been there? Sometimes, you know, we can be there, right? But in mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences, and quick at mending fences. Again, God wants his body to be one. God wants to see us as his children in unity. Yes, do we have different opinions? Are we all like different people? But can we have in Jesus Christ unity? Can we be one in Jesus Christ? Yes, we can. And that was God's message to, you know, the people, the Jews and the Gentiles at that time. But that's God's message for us. You know, in a world that we live with so much like division and disunity, unity, it's something pretty big, pretty important. And not only in the church, you know, can God use me and you to be the person to keep the unity, you know, at work, where you know that, you know, the enemy will try, and he tries in the church, but he tries everywhere. He tries in the family. He tries at the workplace. He tries in schools. But to be able us as followers of Jesus Christ to be champions of unity, to be like making every effort to keep the unity. It is a big, big deal. It is a big, big deal. It is a big deal to, you know, someone at work that you know that is that person that it's always like adding to the fire. And to be able to be creative and be that person that you are like, you're throwing water, you know, in the fire that it's trying to be created. And use creativity because, you know, you want to bring the unity of Christ in the person of Christ to the environment where you are. And God, He can use that for sure. In verse 7, Paul says, you know, by God's grace and mighty power, He was given the privilege of serving Him by spreading the good news. And I believe we have this privilege as well, just like the Apostle Paul. It's a privilege that we have of serving Jesus by sharing the good news. I love the fact that our church name is Good News. And I love the fact that they say that, you know, we have at least like one promise from God in His word for all the days of the year. At least one. I believe there is more. And those promises are good news. Good news that we can receive for ourselves, but good news that, you know, you never know that God will give you an opportunity for you to share with a family member, with a coworker, with someone at schools. You know, serving Him by spreading the good news, Paul counted that as a privilege. And I believe it is a privilege for us as well. You and I, we have this privilege of sharing the good news that we have in Jesus Christ. Verse 8, and we can identify with Paul. Verse 8, he says, you know, me, Paul, the least deserving of all God's people. And he was, right? He was. He was crazy. He was bad. He was persecuting God and God's people. And he was like, hey, if there is someone that, you know, wouldn't make it to this list, it's me. But God. But God. And I always love to see this and see like, you know, we can identify with that. Maybe you can think about yourself, you know, I'm not the person to convey any like good news or God to anyone. Why not? If Paul could, you and I, we can as well. Do you know that the name Paul, we know Paul as the great apostle Paul. But do you know that the name Paul in Latin means little? And maybe he understood that when his name in Acts 13 was changed from Saul to Paul as, you know, a reminder that, yes, he must grow, I must diminish for the rest of my life. Maybe he understood that. And that's the same with us. Paul, he had no special claim in God's wealth. He knew he was a beggar and a blind in need of God's grace, just like every one of us. I love this quote by Warren Wiersbe. He said this, understanding the deep truth of God's word does not give man a big head, but it gives him a broken and contrite heart. And it's sad, unfortunately, when, you know, we see, you know, brothers and sisters of us that when they know about God's truth, you know, it becomes like something big in the head. But God wanted to be like used to contrite the heart. And that was Paul. And that's, you know, me and you. The more that we get to know God's truth, the more that God grab a hold of our heart, making it, you know, contrite and broken for Him. And still in verse 8, Paul said, you know, God, he graciously gave to me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Paul wanted them to know. He wanted them to know, hey, there is a treasure in Jesus Christ. And if you read like other versions of the Bible, you know, this word endless treasure available in one Bible reference, it says it's the boundless riches of Christ. In another, it says it's the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. It is the unsearchable, the unfathomable riches of Jesus Christ. I mean, I think the idea here is that there is so much in Jesus that Paul wanted the believers to get to know more and more. And for us today, it's also a beautiful message that, you know, we do have a treasure in Jesus Christ that God wants us to get to know more and more. I love this verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul said, you know, that I may know him. Oh, that I may know him. God wants us to get to know him. There is a treasure in Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, the reason that many churches are weak and ineffective in God's work, it's maybe because they do not understand the treasures that they have in Jesus Christ. And sometimes in our own lives, you know, if we could only know the treasure that we have in Jesus Christ, that would make our lives even better, even better. I don't know about you, but, you know, I don't want to let my church be like those churches that don't know what they have in Jesus Christ. I don't want it to be that Christian, you know, that don't know the treasure and the riches and the special blessings that we all have in Jesus Christ. And we are coming to the end here in verse 9 to 11. Paul says, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mystery plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display the manifold wisdom to the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I know that, you know, these three verses here, maybe it's a study for another day, but the truth is that God is using the church, us, to teach the unseen world about his grace. And again, this is another thing that it's like mind-blowing. You know, he is teaching the angels, you know, both like good and evil, about his amazing, unfathomable riches of his grace. And I want to finish in verse 12 here. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. We can now approach God with freedom and confidence. What a blessing. What a marvelous work. Me and you, we have access to God. When we understand the truth that we have in Jesus Christ, we grow in our confidence. We grow in our faith. And not only on Sundays, guys, but when we are facing trials, when Monday comes and the thing that I was not expecting to happen happens, But God had prepared me. God had shown me riches that fills, you know, the void so that I can face the unexpectable. And that's a beautiful thing. We have confidence. We have this open way. And I want to finish with Hebrews 4:16. It says this, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Therefore, right, after knowing and reading what we are reading here this morning, you know, we can come with confidence. We can come with faith to the throne of our gracious Lord, knowing that what expects us there, it's mercy and it's grace. It's mercy and it's grace. So what a treasure that we have in Jesus. What an amazing thing to be part of the body of Jesus. What an amazing thing for us to, you know, be one. Right? We don't look at each other, oh, you know, he is not like us. No, because of Jesus, we were made plain, right? Plain. We are one in the body of Jesus Christ. And God wants us to keep it like that, with unity. And that is something beautiful. You can come, I can, with confidence into the presence of God every single day, not only for yourself, but for somebody else. I don't know, maybe God will give you an opportunity to pray for somebody else tomorrow. And that's great. And you can come with that person, and maybe the person doesn't have the confidence that you do, you know, to come into God's presence. But see, God wants to use you and me as those that will bring someone near. And that's part of his marvelous plan. That's part of his purpose for our lives that make our lives different, that enhance, just like being here on planet Earth and, of course, enjoying this. This was a beautiful day today, wasn't it? I thought, like, wow, this is perfect for meeting here. You know, the weather is great. Natural air conditioning this morning. It was 62 this morning when we got here. It was really great. And to be able to, you know, enjoy the treasures that we have in Jesus Christ, it is something amazing. It is a privilege for us, just like it was with the Apostle Paul. Amen? That's all for today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this portion of the scripture. Thank you for this parenthesis here that you use to speak to us in such an amazing way. Father, thank you for bringing us here today, and thank you for your purpose in each one of our lives. Thank you for the good work that you started when you called us and when you gave us understanding of how we needed Jesus Christ, and you brought us into a relationship with you. Thank you so much for that. And Father, we want this Sunday morning, we want to just we want to confess to you that we are so thankful for being one with you. And we are so thankful for the package that you have for us as your children. It is amazing. And Father, we ask for your help, just like Paul, that we may know you. Would you help us? Not only on Sundays, but Father, even more important, like every single day during the week, may you grant us just to get to know you a little more by our Bible reading, by our spending time talking to you in prayer, by just talking with someone about you and your grace. Father, would you work that in our lives so that we may know him. Father, we are here to confess that we don't know you as we ought to. We are scratching the surface, but we do have this desire in our hearts to get to know you. And as we do that, Father, we have a desire to maybe help someone just like someone helped us to get near to you. You brought us near, and you are about to bring others near, and you can use us. And who are us? Just like Paul said, chief of sinners, that you can change and use by your grace and for your glory. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, friends.